CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It's read to you by G4NJH in Nottingham. Web references in the script can be found either on the RSGB website or attached to the podcast at gb2rs.podbean.com. This is GB2RS News for Sunday, the 2nd of February, 2025. Here are the main news headlines. The RSGB's Tonight at 8 webinar tomorrow will focus on fault finding and basic electronics in construction projects. Peter Boyer, G4MJS, takes on the new role as RSGB Board Vice Chairman. Don't forget to keep track of the RSGB strategy updates. Tomorrow's Tonight at 8 webinar will help you navigate basic fault finding and electronics within your construction projects. Lee Aldridge, G4EJB, will use his many years' experience of working telecoms and electronics to help you understand what to do when you've built a project and it doesn't work. Go to rsgb.org/webinars to find out more. Join the presentation live on the RSGB YouTube channel or special BATC channel and ask questions via the live chat. You can also read more from Lee in the latest edition of Radcom Basics on pages 16 to 24. The RSGB has announced that Peter Boyer, G4MJS, is to take on the new role of RSGB Board Vice Chairman. The current Board Chairman, Stuart Bryant, G3YSX, said that the role of RSGB Board Chairman has always been busy, and as the RSGB has taken on more commitments, the demands for the position have continually been growing. Being able to share those duties is in the best interests of the Society and the incumbent, and he is grateful to Peter for volunteering for this new role. Contact details for Peter and other board directors are on the RSGB website. As we start a new year, the RSGB would like to highlight that it shares regular updates on its strategy, both in Radcom and online. The latest update by General Manager Steve Thomas, M1ACB, reflects on the year ahead and discusses how the Society might achieve a clear direction for 2025. Read this and a previous strategic update on the RSGB website under strategy-updates. The RSGB exams team is pleased to announce publication of a revised version of Syllable version 1.6. The update is known as 1.6B. The revisions address feedback received from the community since the publication of 1.6A. The companion document summarises the changes made to the syllabus, which include moving some material from licensing in Section 1 to the more appropriate Section 7, which focuses on operating. There are no significant changes to the number and content of learning points. Version 1.6b will in effect be for exams held on or after the 1st of April 2025. The RSGB is a weekly news broadcast. GB2RS is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year. As part of the celebration, special call sign GB70RS is active throughout the year. The call sign is being operated by radio amateurs who help deliver GB2RS each week and could include newsreaders and RSGB headquarters staff. You can listen out for operators on all modes and bands, with activity taking place at any time, although you are particularly likely to hear them before and after the GB2RS broadcasts. Find out more on via GB70RS page at qrz.com. If you'd like to hear more about the weekly news service and other celebratory activity taking place this year, watch January's Tonight at 8 webinar, which is available on the RSGB's YouTube channel. The January 2025 edition of Radcom Basics is now available on the RSGB website for members to read. Radcom Basics is aimed at new licensees and amateurs who want to refresh their skills and knowledge. Amongst others, this edition includes articles that provide advice on constructing a kit, options for including a suitable 40-metre band antenna in a small garden, and a discussion on what you need to power a portable station. To read Radcom Basics, visit rsgb.org/radcom-basics. RSGB headquarters will be closing at 12 p.m. on Friday the 7th of February, as RSGB staff will be attending the funeral of their colleague William Cool to allow time for preparation of the RSGB news script. The deadline for a GB2RS news broadcast on Sunday the 9th has been brought forward. Please send details of all your news and events to radcom@rsgb.org.uk by 10 a.m. on Wednesday the 5th of February. Details of rallies and events on Sunday the 9th of February, the Mid-Cheshire Amateur Radio Society Radioactive Fair will take place at the Nantwich Civic Hall, Market Street, Nantwich in Cheshire, CW55DG, doors open from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m, £5 to get in. Hot food, refreshments and free car parking will be available. More information from Patrick to E0VGF via info@radioactivefair.co.uk. The Red Rose Winter Rally, due to take place on Sunday the 23rd of February from 10 a.m. at Mather Hall, Mather Lane, Lee in Lancashire, WN72PJ. Note the maximum number of 5-foot tables per trader has been reduced from 6 to 5, but on a brighter note, the price remains as it has been for years, £10 per table. More information, visit wmrc.co.uk. The Lagan Valley Amateur Radio Society annual rally takes place on Sunday the 1st of March at Hillsborough Village Centre, 7 Ballyninich Road, mispronounced that I think, BT266AR. Doors open at 10:30. More details, visit lvars.uk. Now for the special event news. Special call sign HB220SOTA, that's HB20SOTA, is in use throughout 2025 by the Swiss SOTA Group to celebrate its 20th anniversary. For more information and to read details of a certificate that's available for working the station, visit tinyurl.com/HB20SOTA. Special call sign OF60AP is in use throughout this year by members of the Central Yuzima Radio Amateurs Association, OH2AP. The station is operating to celebrate the club's 60th anniversary. QSL via Club Logs OQRS. Details of a certificate that's available for working the station, visit tinyurl.com/OF60AP2025. Now for DX News, Giovanni IZ2DPX is active from ZD7DPX in St Helena Island, AF022, until tomorrow the 3rd of Feb. He's operating SSB and digital modes on the HF bands, QSL via Club Logs OQRS and directly to IK2DUW. Alder PY1SAD, that should be Aldir, I think, PY1SAD is active as 8 Radio 1TM from Georgetown, Guyana, until the 8th of February. He's operating CWSSB and digital across a variety of bands and via satellite, QSL via Logbook of the World, EQSLQRZ.com, or directly from his home call. Now for contest news, today the 2nd, RSGB 432 Megs Affiliated Societies contest runs 900 to 1300 UTC, all modes on the 70 cems band. The exchange is signal report, serial number and locator. Tomorrow the 3rd, RSGB 80 meter club championship runs 2000 to 2130 UTC, SSB on the 80 meter band, exchange is signal report and serial number. Tuesday the 4th, RSGB 144 megs FM activity contest runs from 1900 to 1955 UTC, FM on the 2-metre band. The exchange is signal report, serial number and locator. Also on the Tuesday the 4th, the RSGB 144 megs UK activity contest runs from 1700 to 2100 UTC, FD8 on the 2-metre band. The exchange is reporting 4-character locator. Wednesday the 5th, the RSGB 144 megs FD8 activity 2-hour contest runs from 1900 to 2100 UTC, FD8 on the 2-metre band. Exchanges report and 4-character locator. If you're in the 4-hour contest, you can enter the 2. On Wednesday the 5th, the United Kingdom and Ireland Contest Club 80-metre contest runs from 20:00 to 21:00 UTC. SSB on the 80-metre band exchanges your six-character locator. Saturday the 8th, Worktall Britain 1.8 megs phone contest runs from 19:00 to 23:59 UTC. SSB on 160-metre band, the exchanges signal report serial number and Worktall Britain area. Also, Saturday the 8th, the RSGB 1.8 megs contest runs from 20:00 to 23:00 UTC. CW and SSB on the 160-metre band, the exchanges signal report and serial number. The PACC contest starts at 1200 UTC on Saturday the 8th of Feb and runs until 1200 UTC on Sunday the 9th. Using CW and SSB on the 160 to 10 metre band, the exchange's signal report and serial number PA stations send their province. Now for the radio propagation report compiled from G0 by G0KYA, G3YLA and G4BAO. They write, last week was pretty unremarkable as far as the sun goes, but it looks as though it's about to change. The 7 days preceding Thursday the 30th were characterised by reasonably settled geomagnetic conditions, maximum KP index of 3.67, and a solar flux index that fell from 205 on the 24th to 170s by the 30th. During this period, they had only four M-class solar flares and no X-class events. Over the next few days, things could change. Two large coronal holes near the sun's equator threaten to upset the quiet conditions. As the solar material flows, it could cause the KP index to rise, perhaps to four, with reduced maximum usable frequencies. I think that should be usable frequencies and noisy conditions, but this will depend upon its associated BZ or interplanetary magnetic field. If it's south-pointing, it'll couple more easily with the Earth's magnetic field, allowing plasma to flow in, and the KP index will rise. However, if it's north-pointing, we may see very little effect at all. So keep an eye on solarham.com for real-time updates and look for increased solar wind speed as the main indicator of the approaching solar material. If the BZ does point south, we may expect unsettled conditions and possible aurora today the 2nd. Meanwhile, three sunspot groups are rotating into an Earth-facing position in the northern hemisphere on the eastern side of the Sun. We have already seen an M-class flare from one of them. These could boost the solar flux index, but could also be a source of solar flares and coronal mass ejections over the coming week. Strangely, NOAA does not seem to think they will, as is predicted solar flux index over the next 7 days is in the 150 to 160s range. It does agree with our prediction of unsettled geomagnetic conditions, although with a projected KP index of 5 today, that's the 2nd, falling to 4 over the next 3 days. So we're just going to have to wait and see. Meanwhile, maximum usable frequencies over a 3,000-kilometre path are still exceeding 28 megs from around 0830 to 1600 UTC. As the month moves on, we can expect the amount of daylight to increase, so this period may be extended. Make the most of 160 and 80 metres as the optimum time for these bands has now passed. Now for the VHF and up propagation news. The tail end of the previous week saw a few weak weather features as lows and a front brushed past. However, from the first weekend of February, there'll be a trend to higher pressure which will offer some tropo opportunities at times during the coming week. There's a chance of the occasional decaying and front drifting down the country, but for most of the week it'll be a tropo story, if anything. 50 megahertz has been quiet again as we await the return of maybe the last spring equinox-style propagation of this cycle around mid-March. Meteor scatter is once again mostly down to random activity, although there is one minor shower, the Capricornid Sagittarius, which peaked yesterday, Saturday the 1st of February. Rain scatter may be somewhat rarer due to the mainly high-pressure pattern. Some auroral propagation is not without hope in view of the large coronal hole which crossed the sun last week. Keep a lookout for high KP index, KP values, and keep an ear open for watery signals on the low-frequency bands as a good sign of potential activity on the higher bands. Moon declination goes positive again today the 2nd, with perigee having passed late yesterday the 1st. This means that the upcoming week will be good for EME. This is especially true of the gigahertz bands. If you have a clear view of the horizon, 144 meg sky noise is low, rising to moderate in the week. One final note, there have been some access problems with the data feeds for the PropQuest website. Hopefully these are temporary and have fixed themselves by the time you hear this broadcast. The other data plots, such as jet stream chart, should continue to update, so there's plenty to look at on the other pages. And that's it from the propagation team this week. That's all from me likewise until next week.